You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 1035, local news call. Local news and talk. Ed Alexander, good morning.
Good morning, Christy Simone.
How are you doing?
Right on. Just right on. Fine,
look at you.
Peachy dandy.
That's some good DJ talk right there.
Know what I mean?
Right on.
I'm on.
Right on. It's a Thursday.
Yeah.
Week's going fast.
Yesterday went fast, I'll tell you that, man. I don't remember much of that.
Hey, bro, what happened?
Yeah.
We have lots of stuff to do today. We had a Food Tuesday with the Arizona Sands Club's guys on Tuesday. We have a Food Thursday.
Yes.
Which is our, it's Noble Hops up on Lambert and La Cañada up in Oral Valley. We had a great interview with the mom there of that family that owns that in Vero Amore.
Vero Amore, yes.
So we look forward to seeing them later today. And then tomorrow, Food Friday.
Yep.
Much in demand. El Taco Rustico. Over on Oracle and Grant. Jose is doing amazing work over there. So Jose is going to be here with lots of food. So be ready, Ed.
I'm ready. Tomorrow. Thank you.
We got the sports intern. We got Congressman David Schweikert. Noble Hops at 7:30. We have the DEA here looking.
Uh-oh. Looking for me?
Looking through Ed's prescription bottles.
There you go.
And actually, it's going to be Polo Ruiz, I think his name is. He is the special agent in charge for Southern Arizona. So we had the lady who was in charge of the whole damn thing, the whole state, last month. Now we have the gentleman who's in charge of Southern Arizona.
Excellent.
Justine Wadsack is going to be here also at 8:30 running for state legislature. Jeez. And then we have 8 zillion things to do. Wow, Mrs. D went crazy on guests today. She's good.
Jam-packed.
All right, let's go right to the phones. Calling in from the swamp itself is Daniel Wood running for CD3. Daniel, welcome aboard.
Hey, thank you, Chris. Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yes, good. Yes, sir, I can.
Excellent.
I'm actually here at the Capital Country Club here.
Oh, look at you.
Washington, D.C.
Look at you.
Yeah.
They didn't kick you out yet?
No, sir, they ain't kicked me out yet. I'm actually sitting down having breakfast with Paul Gozar.
Excellent. Very, very good. So I know you and Anna up there on a little bit of looking for support for your run against probably one of the worst elected officials in Southern Arizona history, which is Raul Grijalva. How is the trip going right now?
It is going very well. We are getting a lot of support up here. Matter of fact, we just got a talk with a senator and possibly looking at some support from that way as far as finances go. And we've gotten, probably about 7 congressmen that we've talked to within the Freedom Caucus.
Right.
And so we're working on that. We don't want to come out and say quite yet, but folks are telling us that they will endorse us. And we'll go from there. But we right now have Gozar's endorsement, Biggs' endorsement, where we've got an endorsement coming. Well, not possibly, hopefully, we'll see. I'm looking at the Border Patrol. I'm hoping to get their endorsement, but that's going to be depending on the higher ups here in Washington. So,
okay.
We do have a high rating from the NRA. We got the AQ, the highest rating a candidate can get. We've got Free Enterprise Club has endorsed us and talking with the Arizona Farm Bureaus. And then also we were looking to get an endorsement from a pro-life group.
So here you are. Again, you can go to DanielWood4Congress.com to find out more. But also, more importantly, Daniel needs as much financial support as ever. Right now to try to get rid of I don't know how long this guy's been there, but way too long, of Mr. Grijalva. So there's a big giant button that says contribute on the top right. If you can help Daniel Wood in his quest to get rid of Mr. Grijalva, that would probably be a good thing. So what do you got to do? What do you got to get done here to win this thing? What has to happen?
So we do need some of the fundraising because we want to do some radio commercials and get it out there. We wanted to do some digital stuff through Facebook and Twitter. Problem is they are definitely censoring me, and more so now. I met Kimberly Klasick while I was here, and we took a picture together, and I put it out there. And more than ever now, you know, Facebook and Twitter censoring me. People are sending me pictures. They censored a picture of me and her together. So that's sensitive material. I'm like, are you kidding me?
It's crazy.
Yeah, so it's frustrating. So what we're having to do is we're working on the text messaging. It's non-intrusive. It's more of, hey, it's like knocking on the front door. I'm here for you. We are going door-to-door, but the financing would be great for the text messaging, for the electronic ads and the radio ads, and that's what we're looking at doing.
Excellent. I was talking to Anna a couple of days ago. It sounds like Washington, D.C. is like feels like a ghost town walking around that place.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Except for last night, with Ruth Bader Ginsburg laid to rest at the Supreme Courthouse there. There was a lot of folks, but we also had it last night. We had Antifa running around through D.C. making a little mess. So it's something. They're planning. It looks like they're planning for a bigger issue coming ahead this weekend, I think. I was talking with the Capitol Police, and they're planning for more protests/riots.
Well, if you want to help Daniel Wood get to Congress and defeat Raul Grijalva, you need to put your money where your mouth is, good people out there. Go to Daniel Wood, number4congress.com. Well, say hi to Anna for us and Congressman Gosar, and go back to breakfast, and we'll talk to you when you get back, okay?
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good day.
You too, Daniel. Have a good day. Mm-hmm. That's Daniel Wood running for Congress. Daniel Wood, number4congress.com. All right, we're going to go to break. Ed Alexander, Christy, Simone, and you, 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. What an ironic song for you to play right before what I'm going to say right now.
Oh, really?
So we know that the Arizona Daily Star, you know, sucks at covering local news. Mm. We know that they suck at holding people in power to any sort of accountability, and half the time they cheer these people on as they ruin your city, right?
Have been.
I mean,
still do.
They are so pathetic. Their eye is off the ball constantly, and they're political hacks. But maybe, I don't know if I've ever said this before, the Arizona Daily Star sucks.
There you go.
Now, I'm going to tell you why. You can do all these other things being a crappy-ass newspaper. But when you screw with my boy, Ed Alexander.
What?
We got problems.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
So Bill number 2,
mm-hmm.
He's one of those psychos like Matt Neely
that's still
looking at this newspaper.
I know.
I do it for, quote, you know, radio local purposes of doing this show. Okay? So here we go. They do a story about the Tucson Musicians Museum Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a picture that says... And there's a bolded little tag on it that says, Ed Alexander has a nearly five-year decade-long history as a radio DJ in Tucson. And the picture...
I don't know.
...is not Ed Alexander. It's a guy who's possibly 10 to 20 years younger and might be from Samoa.
I have no idea who this gentleman is in all of Tucson, you know... I don't know. Maybe it belongs to another story, I'm sure. Which story? I'm not sure.
You know, you made a good point. This could be one of those, business news, you know,
right.
Wells Fargo named a new bunch
right.
of loan officer guys thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Could be. I should go look in the business section, see if I'm in there.
Right.
Okay.
That you might be under the moving up in the moving up column.
There you go.
Rob Kowinowicz is now the new branch manager at Washington Federal on Speedway and Country Club, and there's a picture of Ed Alexander.
not yet. Oh, well.
I'm just telling you, You guys stink. You guys stink. And it's not like they're ever going to like apologize for it. Now,
we'll see.
I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you too.
We'll ask for a correction. We'll see what happens.
You're going to ask for a correction?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Right?
I wouldn't. Just let it out there.
Whatever.
What do you care? Yeah, you should care. I apologize. Here's a guy who's been busting his ass on the radio doing great work. I mean, think of it. When this guy was over at the Groove,
mm-hmm.
at the ripe old age of 59, right? You were rocking it over there to this day. 2019, 2020, you were killing it over there. Great ratings. You're the man.
Over there?
Yeah.
Earlier this, last year in the...
Yeah,
69, not 59.
I'm trying to be nice.
I know you are. I know you are, but that's what's so crazy about it. Thank you. I might as well. We actually have real facts over here. So
again, Jill Jordan Spitz.
Mrs. Alexander just texted me. She says, as long as you aren't in the obituaries.
That's not bad.
Thank you, dear.
You know.
Oh, that's John Holden. I'm sorry. The other one is from my boy. Oh, that is so funny, John. Thank you. So,
I was going to say, that's pretty.
That's good.
That's pretty. I don't know if Julie would ever refer to your obituary. So here's the thing. Just first and foremost, I take it as an insult to my boy, the man himself, Ed Alexander. And you guys owe him an apology. And the other guy.
Yeah, I don't
know. You owe an apology?
He should be somewhere, but I don't know where. Yeah, right?
I mean, it's a great professional headshot of this guy. Okay? And then, you know, I thought about it after, you know, we were just talking about it and Ozzy was playing. It's my fault.
It's not.
It's my fault. Because, you know, you are the children always pay for the sins of the parent. And this is what's going on here. Maybe they hate me enough.
Yeah.
That they think they're screwing with you. I don't know. I got to think of all the options here.
Because I'm sure it's not Katarina had nothing to do with this.
No. I'm sure this is so, okay. Here's
this was
the other,
not sent by the advertising, the PR committee either.
So. Maybe I'm thinking too hard on this. I think it's pure sloppiness.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. There's people not working there anymore that used to work there, right? People who are supposed to be doing, you know, crazy things like... Now, Mike Zinkin says there's a correction in today's newspaper.
Okay.
When I put your picture up.
Okay, hold on.
So we'll see. Nice. We'll have to find. I'm going to say what page? What page number? Well, let's see. The paper's only 16 pages long now, so it's probably C16. I hope they apologize to the other guy too. I mean,
right?
Why can't we get you inducted anything normally anymore?
There's a little cloud over
it. I mean, after the Chuck George incident, and now we got this? Oh, my God. All right, let's move on.
There it is. There it is.
Oh,
page two. Okay.
Oh.
Start local musician. Okay. Star does not, does his best to identify and correct. It doesn't say who the other guy is, but they put my picture in there. So
look at that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike Zinkin.
Okay. But see, it's in... I guess the Caliente was printed earlier, right?
It was printed last Tuesday.
Stop it.
Like two is printed 10 days ago.
I accept the apology.
There you go.
Thank you.
Well, they didn't apologize.
The correction.
They corrected it. Yes. So they still stink. And it's really just sloppiness. We've heard this over and over from people over there that, you know, no one's anywhere near an office. They're all working out of their house. There are people trying to do work that they're trying to do with their laptops because they're at home and they're all crazy about the Rona. Like they're not even like using the right pieces of software to do layout and things like that. And that's why it's such a mess. So, Martin, what does it take to remove the dead star as the paper of record and use Dan Shearer's Papers of Southern Arizona as the newspaper of record? They're doing better news. That's what kills you. Like, how much, you know, how many reporters does Dan have, right? Dan does some stuff, and then he has two or three people right?
Yeah.
But
small town.
But each of those people are cranking out like 3-4 good stories a week.
Yeah.
Right. And these guys still have like 80. I remember what Jill Jordan Smith said. 80. Like they said, like they still have 60.
Yeah.
Or something like. And you're like.
Yeah. Right.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Look at the masthead. Look at the front page or the second page and see how many.
Yeah. You know, this whole thing, you know, we'll get to it if we have time today. This thing with the Breonna Taylor situation. What I love about this whole situation, so the attorney general comes out there and says, you know, the grand jury didn't find against two of the officers, right, in the death of Breonna Taylor. So I guess you guys got to help me out with this. So the drug dealing boyfriend that she was sleeping with, right, he's the witness that said the cops knocked, right? Because that was the whole idea, that they said it was a no knock. They just kicked the door down and started shooting.
Yeah.
No right? Knock, that was the idea, right? So am I getting that? Because what I'm seeing is that the boyfriend himself said that they knocked before it all happened. So I just, you know, and then I do love the video. You got to see it. It's the U-Haul showed up with all the signs and stuff for the organized protest. Like, to make you think, you know, when you see those ads on Indeed, we need protesters. Well, part of once after they get hired is you need to meet the U-Haul at 16th and Brown streets, because that's where the U-Haul is going to have your pre-painted signs that we used in other cities. So, and then, of course, the new thing is MSNBC Jason Johnson is, quote, the white nationalists will do the rioting, right? And then blame Black Lives Matter. I don't know if I've seen any of that out there. So it's sad that Breonna passed away, but at the same time, the reason why the cops, you know, again, sad to say, you know, sad that whatever went on with her life, she was sleeping with a drug dealer. Don't know if she was complicit in the drug dealing business, right? But at the same time, it sounds like they knocked, and that's why the grand jury of a bunch of different people said, we're not charging the cops. I mean, they didn't, you know, Barbara LaWall's office didn't charge the cops in the death of the naked, coked up guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Facts have to play out.
Facts is facts.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. Sports are in turn coming up next after the Dom and the Hour News with CBS Bloomberg, Christy Simone. Oh, now we're finally playing stuff for Fee Waybill's birthday. Thanks. Remember, it was a couple of, we said, oh, it's Fee Waybill. We're going to play some tubes. And we never played any tubes. Sorry, Fee. Nice name. Wake up. What is he really trying to tell me?
Sting is always great with no words, right? Do, 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 me, oh, ho.
And Megan Zillion's doing it, God bless
him. Not bad.
10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Before we get to the sports intern, Matt Neely actually made an amazing point about the Arizona Daily Star's flub of Ed Alexander, putting in some other dude's picture that says Ed Alexander's been a 5-decade-long DJ to screw up his article about the induction into the Musicians Hall of Fame. And Matt's correct. It's the first time possibly in the history of journalism and newspaper publication that the correction appeared the same day as the error.
As the mistake. Somebody call across the hall and have him fix it before we print it. It's crazy. That's impossible.
Let's go to a future member of the Tucson Musicians Hall of Fame, Ryan Larson.
Hall of Fame, yeah.
Ryan, what's up, buddy?
Not much, Chris. How are you doing?
Not too bad. How's married life doing? You mowing the lawn and all that other jazz, those honeydews yet?
No, I'm not mowing the lawn, partly because we're renting, so there's really no lawn to do.
Well, you'll get there, buddy.
Someday, I'm sure I will get to do that, and I look forward to that.
Look at you.
Again, home ownership is a myth for my generation. So we'll see.
That's semi-depressing. Let's start off with since the last time I talked to you, they were just bubbling about the Big Ten playing football again. So
right,
now it's a really very official.
Yes, it is official. The Big Ten is coming back, and the Pac-12 is still scrambling to catch up.
Larry is so good. That Larry Scott guy is so good.
Yeah, Larry's having a hard time. People are blasting the Pac-12 right now because the Big Ten, when they announced they were coming back, they had a plan in place. And apparently the Pac-12, in the last 2 months, as people have tried to play college football this season, the Pac-12 has done no preparations of any kind, it seems like, to even remotely be ready to play a football season if the opportunity presented itself. And so that's why in the last week, the Big Ten announced last Thursday officially that they were going to play football. And it was expected that the Pac-12 would announce soon that they would play. The Pac-12 actually had no plan in place. They weren't really ready. And so they've just been scrambling now that every other major conference is playing football. They've been scrambling to get on the field themselves. And they don't really have any plan in place. The best possible scenario for them, it looks like, is around a start at Halloween. And that would allow them, at most, probably six games before a potential conference championship right before Christmas. Well, the Big Ten, because they were prepared, because they were looking at possible alternatives to playing football, they've been able to get an eight-game season played out and then a conference championship. So the Pac-12 is looking bad, but the Big Ten is going to be back shortly. They have a couple more weeks to get everything ready, and things should be good for the Big Ten. The Pac-12, on the other hand, it's a mess. We all knew it was going to be a mess. It's still disappointing that it's a mess.
So here's a question for you. I'm going to take a little bit of a I want to understand the financial side of this, right? Because now I'm going to take the, let's say I'm the Pac-12, right? And I say not, I think Larry Scott's an idiot. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But
of course,
let's say there's this thing in their brain saying, let's say we wait and just forget about the conference championships and all that jazz, all right, and playing a bowl game. We're going to play an eight-game season starting in January, right? We'll be the only college football out there. The NFL will be down to playoff games, right? We could probably put people in the stadiums by January, right? And be the only right. show in town. Does that kind of make sense? Because you got to explain to me. So the Big Ten going in and playing football, they're only paying for TV money at this point. So explain, what do you think about the financial side of just playing for TV money? But if they waited till January, do they get somehow both? So that's my answer to my crack sports intern.
Okay, so there's a couple of reasons behind this. That spring football is generally not considered a good idea for these colleges. One is something that we've already seen, is that the most important thing to a lot of these players is going to the NFL. And we saw that when the conferences started canceling games and started canceling the season even, that tons and tons of players opted out of playing. There's pretty much a mass exodus among the top for guys who are expected to go in the first and the second round. And if you do a spring football season, there's not a chance in the world the best guys are going to play because, one, the NFL draft happens during the spring. And they need to be going to the combine. They need to be evaluated by these NFL teams. So players who are good, who have a chance at going to the NFL, they're not going to play. You're going to miss out on that, which is bad for the Pac-12, which already has a lack of talent. Another reason is, I mean, they're still college students. They still have responsibilities that they have to do. They have to go to.
If you bring up academics, I'm having Ed hang up on you.
You can hang up on me, but technically it's going to be argued that these guys are supposed to be doing academics, and also they need a break between seasons because you have spring football, you have summer workouts, you have all these things. If you play in the spring, and then how are you going to get back to normalcy in the fall when you just did an entire season 4 months earlier? The players, they need a significant break, not just for their academics, but to physically recover because they're still young kids. And then also to do all the spring practices, the workouts leading up to camp. You're going to throw off your entire college football season. And the TV money is important. That's why the Big Ten is coming back. But ESPN and these other networks, they don't really want a spring football season. They don't want to have to show Pac-12 games because they have other responsibilities in the spring. Granted, they'll do it just because it will still get higher viewership, but it's just better for these networks to have football be consistent. And for the Pac-12 specifically, yeah, playing in the spring is great, but you're already not respected in the football area. You're considered the worst football conference in the Power Five. Playing alone by yourself isn't going to change anyone's perspective of that. And so it's not going to help your reputation. It's not going to suddenly make the Pac-12 a more prestigious conference just because you're the only conference playing. Instead, the Pac-12 will probably just be laughed at a little bit. The SEC could get away with this. The Pac-12 cannot get away with it.
Christy Simone, counterpoint. Well, Ryan, that's a wonderful couple of different points you made there. One, if they played starting right in the first week of January, they'd be in then by the first week of March. NFL draft is until April, third week of April. No one really cares about the combine. At the same time, we cancel spring football and they just do summer workouts for the next season. And at the same time, if we're already the worst of the, we're considered the worst of the Power Five, we can't go anywhere but up. And at the same time, there would be a focus only on Pac-12 football in the national TV thing, filling that void of people want to watch some sort of real football. And at the same time, the people who are your superstars who want to blow out anyway, it doesn't matter because people would like to watch football whether or not the superstar cornerback is there or not. Counterpoint.
That was a counterpoint. Should I offer my own counterpoint?
Please. Counterpoint.
Counterpoint. This could be a great segment. We'll just call it counterpoint. But with the NFL thing, no one cares about the combine maybe from the standard fan. The NFL, those teams care a lot. The combine makes a huge difference in people's draft status. And there were also NFL general managers and scouts who are quoted as saying that the guys who don't work out, who don't play, they're not going to get drafted as highly. So the guys who don't get to go to the combine, the guys who don't participate in that type of stuff, it affects their draft stock. And so as we've seen this season, guys would rather opt out and prepare for the draft than risk playing and getting hurt in the spring or missing out on all these NFL opportunities to work out for teams because that's more important to them. As for the other stuff, I don't think going counterculture is the best play for the Pac-12 when everyone is already laughing at you. And the spring football is going to be good for viewership potentially in terms of, yeah, your games aren't going to be on at 9 o'clock at night, but you're not going to increase your brand just playing by yourselves in the Pac-12. And that's what the Pac-12 needs to do is increase their brand. That's why people put so much stock into non-conference games every season. That's why people put so much stock into bowl games every season is because playing against the other conferences generates respect. It generates more money this way because you increase the number of fans who are going to watch the game. And then in terms of throwing off your schedule, this isn't something the Pac-12 wants to do every year. There's no way they should set up a spring football every season because logistically it doesn't work if you're trying to host all these other sports in a normal year with basketball, with all the other spring sports that you have. Logistically, you can't afford, nor do you have the personnel necessary to do football and all these other sports. So this isn't a yearly thing the Pac-12 can do. So they, by throwing off their season once, they're making it logistically harder to return to normal play. And once COVID is over, the fall seasons, it's going to be harder for them to return to that.
All right, let's go to Ed Alexander, not with a counterpoint. But Ed, what was that news story you just had up? So we just share it one more time.
Are you aware about the story that broke yesterday from the San Jose Mercury News that, of course, the commissioner, Larry Scott of the Pac-12, and other executives and managers received performance bonuses right before they did the layoffs and furloughs of 196 employees, or 94 of their employees. He got $2.5 million or so. Little bump, and then they fired everybody. That's how Larry works.
Yeah, that's not a great look for the conference when the Pac-12 laid off a ton of people and you have basically every athletic department in the conference laying people off. The Pac-12 recently hired a consulting firm, an outside consulting firm, to come in and try and improve the conference's brand, which can mean one of two things. It can mean that the Pac-12 just knows they have a problem, or it could mean that they are trying to replace Larry Scott. Because this consulting firm, it only reports to the conference, the university presidents within the conference. They don't report to Larry Scott. They're outside his purview of power. And so this could be the president's planning to replace Larry Scott, or it could just be that they're looking for another way to increase the Pac-12 brand. Because the Pac-12 brand right now is a big buzzword. They want to increase their brand. That's why they've looked at going outside the country, trying to get more international viewership. This is why they looked at selling part of the conference media rights. But the Pac-12 is in this weird state where they probably can't afford to buy out Larry Scott. Then again, when they're giving out $2.5 million bonuses,
right?
They don't really care about money. But at the same time, they could just wait this out. But it could mean Larry Scott is on his way out, or it could just mean that the Pac-12 is continuing to be irresponsible with money and doesn't really know what they're doing.
So look, if they really cared, the other half of Tucson will be able to watch Pac-12 games. But as it is, there's still what the Dish and all these people still can't get a Pac-12 game on their TVs that they're paying hundreds of dollars for. So first of all, I don't care what happens in Europe with Larry Smith. The other is, I'm not attacking you. There's 196.
I'm attacking you.
196 employees in the Pac-12 military. I'm not military office. And now they've got to bring in consultants for a couple more million. It's like...
No, it's mismanaged.
It sure is.
All right, real quick, before we let's get a couple of NFL notes out. Cardinals look really good again in their second week?
Yeah, the Cardinals look great in their second week. It was against Washington, and as we know, Washington does not have the best football team. They did beat the Eagles in week one, but we've seen that the Eagles are pretty much a mess. And so... that's a good win for Arizona again because Kyler Murray has looked great so far. The offense is just humming, and I feel really good about the Cardinals, especially because the 49ers were decimated by injuries in week two. Jimmy Garoppolo is out for a while. They lost Bosa and Mostert and all these guys who are gone for a long time. I think the 49ers are going to miss the playoffs now, and the Cardinals are in great shape to take advantage of whatever the void is left by the 49ers to make a run at the playoffs. And right now, they look dangerous. The way Murray's playing, his running ability, his scrambling ability, along with his ability to just hit deep bombs with his passing game, the Cardinals are a threat, officially, in the NFC. The hype was there before the season. Through two games, they look great. They're ready to go.
So I know the Patriots went up to Seattle, lost by a touchdown or so. How did Cam Newton and the crew look in the second game on the road, at a tough road game at Seattle?
Oh, man, Cam Newton looks great. He threw for almost 400 yards. It was his best passing game he's had since 2011, which was the second game of his career. And it's incredible that the Patriots of all teams are the ones who ended up with Cam Newton. I know Cam Newton was hurt. I know he didn't have the best couple of seasons coming before he joined New England, but that was because of injuries. So it's amazing that more teams didn't kick the tires on Cam Newton. Like, the Bears chose to go with Nick Foles and give up draft picks and $20 million a year to have Nick Foles as their backup rather than signing Cam Newton. It blows my mind that after 20 years of Tom Brady, the Patriots still ended up with a guy who was an MVP 4 years ago.
Right.
And the Patriots look really good. The defense, yeah, they gave up 35 points to Seattle, but Russell Wilson was cooking. I think the Patriots, at this point, it's hard to argue they're not going to be a playoff team just the way Newton is playing. And the way that the rest of that team looks, the Patriots are good. And they're going to be around still with Newton. As long as Newton stays healthy, they're going to be competing.
What went on the second week of the Tom Brady Gronk Tampa Bay experiment?
Well, Gronk is washed. He didn't do anything in week two. But the Buccaneers beat the Panthers. They won 31-17. And Brady played well. The thing with the Buccaneers that could potentially hold them back going forward, I don't think it's Brady as much as it is that this team is just sloppy. They make a lot of bad mistakes every game, committing penalties, unforced turnovers, or an inability to shut down the Panthers. The Buccaneers should have won that game by probably 28 points, just the way the Panthers played early on with multiple turnovers and not being able to move the ball, but they were just sloppy. And the Buccaneers were unable to put him away, and going forward, that could be a major problem for them. But Brady, he looks like he's still figuring out. He has really great drives, and he has drives where he looks pretty average, but that's consistent with the way he played last year.
Sure.
And so we'll see what the Buccaneers can do going forward.
So basically, in the end, for Gronk, the last known good football action he's done was spiking the Lego of Steve Harvey's head on New Year's Eve. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, that was a good spike. Or you could say that is when he caught a big pass in the game-winning drive at the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl, that was about it, yeah.
All right, Larson, thanks for a good time. Thanks for doing Counterpoint, Counterpoint, Counterpoint with me today. That was fun.
Yeah, can't wait to do this segment every week now. People are going to love it.
It's going to happen next week. So, sir, have a good weekend.
You too, Chris. Thanks.
Ryan Larson, best sports intern in the business. We got to go to break. We got Schweiker top of the hour, Noble Hops Food Thursday, the head of the DEA for Southern Arizona, Justine Watzak, before it's all over. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice, Christy Simone, and a guy that I thought I knew, but it wasn't the guy in the newspaper. Wake up. Hey now, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. We got a couple of minutes for holidays and birthdays. First and foremost, I just found out that it's National Bluebird of Happiness Day.
Wow. I know what that means. Oh, I have to play this song. Hold on, if I can get him to play.
One of the greatest titles of a song ever. That's the first thing I thought of was the little Jimmy Dickens song.
Right, it's stuff we, well, who else would the Bluebird of Paradise?
I did get to see... I know it's Bird of Paradise up your nose. What's the closest thing I can get to?
Yeah.
So anyway, I actually saw a Jimmy a lot when I went to go see at the Opry.
Isn't that great?
And the Lavelle sisters were great, Charlie Daniels, and Jimmy was still alive in those days.
Right.
So that was...
I think I've seen him, I've seen him on there, so okay. Cool. Anyhow.
Other holidays today, National Cherries Jubilee Day.
Thank you.
Schwenkfelder Thanksgiving.
I don't know what that is.
Schwenkfelder.
Yes.
World Maritime Day.
And National Punctuation Day.
Yeah, which most of us are
blowing
out there.
I'm still trying to figure out that, what, English comma and all that stuff.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
I remember one time, I got to tell the story real quick in 30 seconds. So I did some sort of, I was banging with Dylan Smith or Mark Evans or one of these fools, and one of them didn't like the fact that, they didn't care about the comment, but I did the comma and then space. They're like, hey, you don't have to do that anymore. That's so antiquated, bro. I was like,
not
Schweikert coming up next.